Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Verse 5. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed. Now, we're not going to take time to read all this. I mean, we've read this I don't know how many times already. So we're just going to kind of skip around on it. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. We said that they put no value on the word. And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. Why? Lacked moisture. Are y'all still watering? I don't know about y'all, but I've had to start 2 times a day, at least. Things started to, I don't know, it's kind of like, y'all know how when you get dry, right? Your skin gets dry, you start thinking, man, I need some lotion. If you've been thinking, I need some lotion, you probably do. So if you've been thinking, do I need to start watering more? You probably do. Because see, the thing about it is, if you just got to bleed for a day or two, it might not get too bad dry. Think about the summer. You know, we have a rainy season, and then a lot of times in the summer, it may go weeks without raining. Things get real dry. So it may not be the heat that you're going through. It may just be because of time. I looked, and it's been a little over 2 months since we started believing God that Wednesday night. And I'm sure probably you got other things you was believing God about before then. But he says there they lacked moisture. So keep up your watering. And then he says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now let's go over to Mark chapter 4, and these will be in the Amplified. 18 and 19. It says, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in. What's that mean? Real slow, unnoticeable, undetectable, if you're not just up on it. He says, and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Now, I looked up the word distractions in this verse right here in the Webster's Dictionary, and it says the word distract means to draw or divert one's attention away from something, to cause one to feel conflicting emotions. Don't that just sound like the devil? Brother Brad used to tell us this way. He said it's kind of like cowboys and Indians. They'll start a fire or a wagon or something out front and all that, and while you're looking at that and fighting against that or whatever, or watching there, they're slipping in the back door. That's the way these things are. See, when you read these parables, because we've been using all three, and when you read them, what you see in here is like thorny ground. This is your everyday life. The stuff that you do day after day after day. And he said in here, only 1 out of 4 make it. We got real quiet. Only 1 out of 4 make it. But I believe we can have better results than that, right? Because he's teaching us. He's helping us. He's showing us. He's giving us revelation. But the thorny ground should have had it. I mean, you ain't got persecutions coming at you day and night in thorny ground. You know, people talking about you doing bad, chopping heads off at other places, you know, and things like that. You've not got somebody offending you day and night, you know, in the thorny ground. But in thorny ground, it is these little everyday things. Y'all remember anybody in the Bible that got distracted? Can't think of it right now. Well, I was sitting meditating on this one evening, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke this to me. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. I hadn't even thought about her. Every one of these grounds got a little bit further, right? Because wayside, they didn't get anything. They didn't even get the word planted. Then you go on to stony ground, they get the word planted, receive it with joy, got faith. Then you move on to thorny ground. So every step, every one of them, the process, they got a little further. But we got to make it all the way, amen? All the way. I've done been in this too far and too long not to get what I've been believing for. Verse 38 is where we're going to start. This will be in the Amplified. It says, now it came to pass as they went. Let me read it in Amplified. Let's see. Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village. Notice the words. And a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. Let me ask you a question. Did he tell her he's coming to her house? Did he invite himself? She invited him. Y'all remember last week when just about everybody in here laughed, and I said, have you ever cleaned house and had company over or something other, and then when they leave, you start cleaning up and griping? Almost everybody, this is way bigger than you think it is. Because he goes on here and he says, Martha received and welcomed him into her house, Jesus and his disciples, and she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. Then let me ask you a question. This is Jesus. I mean, this is the one that walks on the water, feeds 5,000 men. What was it? 2 or 3 loaves and some fish. In other words, a little kid's lunch. Don't you think he could have, she could have warmed up the biscuits from breakfast and he could have multiplied them? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. He says here, verse 40, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Well, first of all, who told you to do it, Martha? I mean, really, sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves. I don't see anywhere that Jesus asked Martha for a meal. I don't see where Jesus invited himself to her house. I see where she has put every bit of this on herself, as far as I can tell. It says, tell her then to help me, to lend a hand, and to do her part along with me. Who said she had a part? I hate it when the Lord tells somebody to do something and they involve me. Y'all not saying nothing. You got some people, they got big ideas and they got this stuff they want to do and they think everybody else ought to be involved with it. Well, Mary thought different, right? And Jesus says she's thinking the right way. Where Martha is this host. She's this host. She's going to feed everybody. She wants everything just right. The pictures have to be straight on the walls. The biscuits have to taste just right. We've got to have... Y'all don't ever do none of this, do you? Yeah. And do you see, this is what the problem is with thorny ground. This is why thorny ground is not going to get the 100-fold that it asks for. It's just stuff like this. That's why he says these things, they creep in. I'm building that pavilion, you know, and I told y'all about it, and the swimming pool and all that, and I'm going to invite y'all over if you're nice. I will invite you anyway. But listen, I am who I am. I'm just telling you, if you come over there with great expectations of decorating and fine dining food, you can forget it. You probably better just stay home. I don't know if you'll have a tablecloth. You might not. Just depends on how I feel and how I'm led. Why am I saying that? Because I'm not going to let myself get cumbered about with these things. See, I told the Lord and I told y'all, you know, I'm building this for y'all, for my grandkids, for y'all, for my family, you know. And the Lord told me the other night, he said, no, it's for you too. And I thought, it is? He said, yeah, they're going to help you. Y'all don't get it, do you? Same people. I don't mean you're going to help me build it. See, I have always been one, and I'm better now than what I was. I like to be alone. People get on my nerves most of the time. See, I like things the way I like them. I want to do things the way y'all ain't saying that. I want to do them. And a lot of times people get on my nerves, you know, because I am a lot alone by myself. I was raised pretty much alone. Scotty allowed nobody else around me, not even my mom and them most of the time. And how many know that's not good? And I may be helping y'all and giving y'all something that's fun and a time to spend time with it, but it's going to help me on the inside to build things on the inside of me that God can only do by using people. See, that's one of the importances of church. A lot of people don't go because they're just way too selfish. All they think about is them. Well, I don't get much out of church when I go. Well, do you put anything in there? That's the way the kingdom is, this whole thing. He says later on, you get out of the kingdom whatever you put into the kingdom. If you don't put nothing in the kingdom, then you don't get nothing out. If you give no attention to the word, then you get no revelation of the word. So a lot of times people, they don't go to church, they don't assemble on a regular basis because all they think about is them. How many knows it can't be all we think about is us? That's not good. Then he goes on here. And he says, left me to serve alone, then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. You have a part if God says you have a part, and if somebody asked you if you feel to or you want to. But don't let other people put their stuff on you. One of the things that happened to me when I backslid, and this wasn't the only thing, and I had a choice, but I was green and I didn't know a lot of what was going on and all that stuff and everything. But people, being an evangelist's wife, like I told you, being a pastor's wife, a lot of people judge the color of my hair, whether I wear makeup, the clothes I wear, how I look, how I act, why? Because I'm the pastor's wife. So there's more spotlight on me most of the time than what there is on just congregation. There's more spotlight on pastor's kids. You know, there's some, they need the devil cast out, I think, sometimes. And then there's others, you know, they do pretty good. I don't know where all that was about, but anyway, take it for yourself. Oh, yeah, I do. Don't let people put their stuff on you, because I felt like Scotty would go to churches and they would say, because I didn't go with him much, because I couldn't, you know. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to deal with people and different things like that. And so a lot of times they say, where's your wife? And they say, she's at home. Well, why didn't she come with you? Well, she didn't want to. And if they keep on, he'd say, why don't you go ask her? You know, or something like that, you know, just because they keep on. Or because I'm the evangelist's wife, I should play the piano and I should do this. And don't let people tell you what you should or shouldn't do or what you should and shouldn't be. Now, I'm not talking about if you're misaligning with Scripture. I'm not talking about that, you know. I went to, now I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb and I can do chords like April does sometimes if I ain't forgot them all. But I'm talking about playing out. I took piano lessons from the music teacher at Cleveland School for a year, and I learned to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, and we had what you call that where you got to go play in front of people? Yeah, I had this recital thing, and it was something Ode to Joy or something another I had to play, and it was like, you know, one little key at a time, you couldn't do chords or anything. That's not my thing. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I wasn't good at that. But people will tell you, well, you need to do this, and you need to be that. All that gets you cumbered up. Kind of like Joyce Myers, if y'all have heard her testimony or whatever. Y'all remember the story that she told about when she was going to have a garden and she was going to learn to can? Y'all didn't hear that story? Only Sandy? Oh, yeah. Why? Because she's got to be like everybody else, and she's got to outdo everybody else in whatever they do. Don't be like that. It'll get you messed up. Now, we raise a garden and all that, and we do it for us. We're not in competition with anybody. But you know what? If I don't want a garden, well, that's good. But she made her a garden, you know, and she's going can and all that, and it was a disaster. Why? That's not her. So don't let people put their expectations or things they want to do and think you should be doing onto you. You do what you believe God is telling you in your heart, and you are led to do. Right? Mary sure didn't let Martha put hers on her. As it goes on and it says, tell her to help me. Verse 41, but the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha. Now, if Jesus calls your name twice, you better really pay attention. You are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. So I told you before, you know, the yard needed mowing or whatever, and I thought, not today. Why not today? The yard needs mowing. I don't care about the yard. Why? Because God gave us that song, First Things First. Y'all remember it? Y'all been playing it, listening to it? Why? Did y'all realize the words to that song? Of what all the words say? The yard doesn't matter. The job doesn't matter. The meal doesn't matter. First things first. What's he say over there in Matthew 6:33? Seek you last, second, first, the kingdom of God. And all these things, everything he mentioned there, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, what you drive, everything that you need here in this life is in that Matthew 6:33. But if we get them messed up, then Matthew 6:33 don't work for us and we start going after things. And that's not good. But he tells her, this thing is needful. So you spending time, see, there's people, they're Christians. And the Bible even talks about them. They're here in the thorny ground. That they can quote the scripture, you know, that heaven is our home. We're only citizens, we're not citizens here, you know, but we're pilgrims only passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. But they live like this is the most important thing. This is not the most important thing. The Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So however old you are, how long you been here according to God? Hour and a half? And one day, it's going to all be over. The yard mowing's going to be over with. The going to work's going to be over with. The decorating, the inviting people over, the party, whatever it is. Everything down here one day is going to be over with. And with God, everything is about balance. He knows we got to go to work. He knows there are things that has to be done and stuff like that. But how many knows that even though something may need doing, if you need to be doing what Mary's doing here, do it first. And then the Holy Ghost will help you do and put in order quicker, do things quicker. I mean, give you wisdom where you didn't have it of how to get this stuff done. But don't do that stuff first. We must seek Him first. He has to be first in our lives all the time. Now, I looked up the word cumbered because I believe it's King James says cumbered. It says Martha is very cumbered about this stuff. And the word cumbered in the Strong's Concordance, it says to drag all around. I thought, Lord, that is a wonderful definition of that distraction. I remember Scotty's mama before she passed away as she got older. Scotty, she called Scotty her gardenia, which we know that's a flower. She meant guardian, you know, and he wasn't. She just, in her mind, he was for some reason, you know. And she'd be on a ramp about something, call him, want him to come over there, something's going on or whatever, and he'd get over there and she'd start telling him about it, and he would change the subject real gently, conveniently, and get her mind on something else, and then get it on something else, and then get it on something else, and before you know it, she's completely off of what she was telling him. Her countenance has changed, the atmosphere, everything has changed. This is what this is talking about. Drag you all around. I just thought about my sister and brother. I'd been married for a little while, and I went over at Mama's, and my sister had to clean the house. I think she got paid or something or other. I never got that, but anyway, we'll move right along with this story. Anyway, my sister had to clean the house up. My brother, he had this thing about, he watched Rambo, I don't know how many times, that kid. He'd sit there with snack cake boxes and open his snack cakes and watch Rambo and throw his things in the floor. Well, I went over there one day, Dee. And she went over there and grabbed him by the hair of the head and drug him down the steps and is dragging him across the floor. That's what the devil does to us. If we let him. Just drag you all around. But he can't if we don't let him. But can you see how this cumbered, this distraction, he says to drag all around. I don't know about you, but I don't want the devil pulling me nowhere by the hair of the head. I don't want my flesh pulling me up because it talks about cravings and passionate desires and all this other stuff, authority. I don't want nobody or nothing dragging me nowhere. And God doesn't drag me. The Holy Ghost leads me. He guides me. And I follow Him, right? So we don't want to get drug around everywhere. Well, how are we going to keep from that? Number one, keep your mind and heart stayed on the Lord. I know there's things we got to do, and He knows it too. But how many knows you can do those things, and if your mind has to get off of the Lord or Scripture, get it right back on as soon as you can. You know, I told you, put up the swimming pool, and that was Joey's. Now I'm fixing to do that pavilion thing or whatever. And I have sat there, and I have built this thing in my mind I don't know how many times. Well, the Bible says count the cost, right? I mean, how can you even know when you get something built if it's what you wanted if you never even thought about it? I mean, I got to think, where do we need the water spigots of the water coming out, you know? How many plugs do we need? Where do we need them? Blah, blah, blah. What kind of light? I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know, because I'm going to have a bathroom and all that stuff up there. So I got to think about this stuff. Well, I'm sitting out there the other day, and I'm thinking about it. I'm sitting on my porch and where it's going. I mean, I can see it from the porch, and I'm looking there, and in my mind's eye, I can see it. And then Scotty brought up something the other day, because I'm going to have a hot tub too, Dee. And See, I'm going to quit paying all these people for this stuff where I go vacation. I'm just going to vacation at my house. By the time I get through, maybe invest, you know, or whatever. So anyway, and he brought up, because my TV was going to go on this back wall, and he said, well, how are you going to see the TV from the hot tub? And I thought, that's a mistake. I'm going to have to rearrange in my mind now where my TV's going to go, because I got to see the TV while I'm in the hot tub, could see all my Auburn family, all my Auburn family fans. I'm going to invite them over at game time, dude. And we're going to watch it so I can gloat when we get done. I'm just kidding. Y'all do win sometimes. And I always try to be a good sport. But my point to all that is I've been thinking about it. I've been looking at it in my mind. I can see where everything goes in my mind. The plugs, the water, the TV, which now I got to move it over here, and I don't know if that's going to work. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord told me in my heart, I didn't hear a voice, but in my heart it's like, don't think too much about this. See, it's not that I can't think about it, because I need to think about it. Supplies will have to be bought, you know, measurements done, blah, 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 whatever. So I have to think about it, but he says, don't think about that too much. Why? Because whatever I think on in abundance will go down into my heart, and it will choke the word. So he didn't tell me don't think on it. He said, don't think on this too much. That's everything. It doesn't matter. How many knows you can think on your kids too much? You can think on your job too much. I know Scotty, he has to turn his mind off about work. I'm telling you, these people call Sunday. They call Monday through Sunday. They'll call 9 and 10 o'clock at night. And most of the time he'll answer the phone, and I'm like, cut that thing off. I don't want to hear it. We got an answering machine. I mean, Walmart's not even open on Christmas Day. So he has to, because he has his own business and church and all this and very busy, there's times he has to just shut his mind off. And if you don't do it on purpose, it don't go off. It'll stay. The devil will make sure that it will. Why? Because he wants to choke your word. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7. In our reading, I come across this. I know we're past this right now. But I come across this in our everyday reading, and I thought, that's good. That's very good. I never seen it that way before. And this is going to be the Amplified Version, so Beth will put it up on the screen for us. We're going to start in chapter 7, verse 30. And he says, and those who weep and mourn as though they were not weeping and mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they did not possess anything. It says, and those who deal with this world overusing the enjoyments of this life. See, we read the scriptures last week over there in Timothy where he told him, he said, that they be not high-minded and all that. And then he says, and God gives us all things richly to enjoy, right? That's the word. That's his will. That's what he does. But he says here, and those who deal with this world overusing the enjoyments of this life, that's thorny grounds pleasures. It's not that you can't have things. It's not that you can't enjoy things in this life. It's not that you can't go to the lake or have a nice house. It's the overusing of it. Because God is balanced, but the devil's out of balance. If you go to the left, you're off balance. If you go to the right, you're out of balance. And all those things gives him a place. And the Bible says don't give him any place. We have to make sure. So in our hearts, whenever, just like I told you, I was thinking about that pavilion and building it in my head, and God said, don't think on this too much. I'm like, okay, God, I moved right along. Now, I thought about it the next day, sure, but I can't think about it too much. You can have stuff, but you can't overuse it. See, that some people, that's all they want to do is have fun. All they want to do is pleasure, just like going to church. Go to church and sit 2 hours with no TV? Are you kidding me? Nobody to entertain me? Just sit there? Y'all not saying that. There's people, that's one of the reasons why they don't go to church. There's some people, they can't be still. I can be still, D. I can be still for a long time. And I've had lots of practice. When my head was messed up, I'd have some weeks I couldn't even walk by myself except like one day out of the week. So I got real good at sitting still. And then I would get, if I had to do something, I'd get in my chair and I would row myself to the kitchen or whatever. So I've got real good at being able to sit still. There's some people, I'm telling you, they sit still 5 minutes and they're like, oh, I'm telling you, I can't take this. I've got to do something. That would be Scotty. You know, he's not quite as bad as what he was. And I'm like, God, why would you put us together? He's like, I got to go do something. I need to do this. And I'm like, oh, man, just relax over there. You're making me tired with all this stuff you're going to do and saying you're going to do and want to do. I'm like, just relax, man. Well, he has a hard time relaxing. Well, I have a hard time sometimes getting it in gear and getting something done. And then God, he's amazing. He'll take two people like that and put them together. So Scotty's always running around everywhere, and I'm trying to get him to come home. He's trying to get me out of the house and go somewhere with him. So it's kind of like we help each other all the time. Now, that can be a point of, what would be the word, loud discussion. It can be at the point of loud discussion if you let it. But we can't let. Why? Because we help bring balance to one another. I mean, you can't be like Martha just running around all day. You've got to do all this stuff and all this stuff, and you didn't have no time for God. There's some people, they can't even sit down and be quiet and be still with God. Can't do it. Just cannot do it. They don't have a problem listening to preaching while they're working, you know, or praying while they're working, and that's good. Smith Wigglesworth said, you know, he only went like 15 minutes in a day without praying. He'd pray every 15 minutes because somebody thought he probably prayed for hours. He said, no, about 15 minutes a day. He said, but do I never go without 15 minutes without praying. How many knows, and there's times every one of us need to have a place where there's no phone, there's no distractions. Even if your belly says, think about the chicken, I'm hungry in the refrigerator, just cut it off. That we need to be still. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we just have to get everything out of our mind and in our heart and get quiet before Him. I don't know about y'all, but this week I have had a harder time entering into the presence. See, anybody can pray. Anybody can talk to God. Not everybody fellowships with Him. Not everybody spends that time in His presence long enough to where there used to be a song that we would sing. I can't remember all of it now, but something about turn your eyes upon Jesus, look holy in His face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. I don't know about y'all, but when I come into His presence, nothing matters. Nothing matters. I'm not aware of me. I'm only aware of Him. If I got problems, I don't got problems anymore. Everything just kind of fades away. And you can't go long periods of time without that, because all this junk starts getting in you. And it's just like a garden. All these weeds, all these morning glories, all these things. You got to keep your garden cleaned out. What is your garden? Your garden is your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs, He said, guard your heart with all diligence. He says, for out of it flow what? The issues of life. That is not, what is the word to say? That is, I'm alive right now. I'm living. But without God, I'm just existing. I don't really have life. Why? He is life. Life is only found in Him. And Jesus said over there in John 10, He said, I came. He said, to give you life and life more abundantly. That word life, when you look it up, is Zoe. It is God kind of life. It's not just your body's alive till your spirit's gone and you're dead. Lost people have that. This is the life of God, eternal life flowing through us all the time. And when we have all these things of the world and families and people and all kinds of things pulling on us all the time, it doesn't matter. Just like these kids, the teenagers and all that, and Aubrey and them, she's telling me a while ago she's concerned about next year at school, and I'm thinking, what do we got to get on this for? You're out for the summer. Let it go, kid. Be concerned about that when you get back over there, or right before you get back over there. See, it doesn't matter what age you are. The devil does not discriminate. Back there telling me, you know, I'm concerned, you know, you remember how you and Dad made this promise and blah, 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 and all this stuff. She said, I don't want to go. I said, well, that's fine. You don't got to go. Not school. I was talking about something else. She said, and my friend, she just won't leave me alone, Grant. I said, just tell her, shh. I'll talk to you at recess. Grandma, she don't listen to me. Now we got to get off on all the... Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Y'all do the same thing. It's just a different thing. You know, I took me years, and God had to help me. I don't know why. I kind of had this thinking, I reckon, to a certain degree. Kids should be seen and not heard. Now, I don't consciously remember thinking that or whatever. But it's like over the years, the Lord has had to help me and be like, it doesn't matter how old they are, they're just like you. Their problems may be different, but they've got problems. How many knows if you're an adult, you can minimize your kids' problems because that ain't your problems? Your problems are way bigger. Well, guess what your problems are to God? Less than what your kids are. Why? There's no problems to Him. And we shouldn't minimize anybody's problems or things that they deal with or issues and all of that. Because people are people regardless of the age. I mean, Granny's probably the oldest one in here. I'm sure she's got her set of problems that maybe some of the rest of us don't have. Then you got all the way down to the teenagers and Aubrey and Aiden, and they got their own set of problems. But when we come to Him and we get in His presence and we see Him and He shows up, you know, He's got many, many different names. Just like that Jehovah Jireh. You know why He got that Jehovah Jireh? Or Abraham seen Him that way? Because of the ram that was stuck in there. And God's, whenever Moses asked Him, God, who should I tell Pharaoh sent me? What's He say? I am. Can you be a little more specific? No, I am. What's He saying? I am whatever you need. You need a ram caught in a thicket? I am. Why? Because I'm Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. Another one, El Shaddai, you know, Elyon, Elyon. All these names, every one of them shows you a little different part of God. Well, everybody's that way. I told the ladies one day down there at the ladies' meeting, that's her ladies' day out, whatever we're going to call it. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. And I told them, I said, this is good. I said, y'all need to see me outside of church. I said, because I'm not just what y'all see up there behind the pulpit. Up here, I'm anointed. Up here, I got to say things that sometimes I don't want to say. I got to do things sometimes. And when we get down there, I'm free. Y'all take over. This is my party time. See, y'all don't see me party time up here. Why? I'm business up here. It's kind of like the mullet. What is that? Party in the front and business in the back, or however that's said, you know? Party in the back, business in the front. Okay, I knew it was something like that. Why? Because we've all got different parts to us. We're just like Him. And He needs us and wants us to see every part of Him. When you get into this problem or whatever, He wants to see you. I am El Shaddai. You know, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Elyon. Whatever that you need, He wants to show you and reveal to you, I am. I am that. I am that. But how many knows when we stay just caught up with this world and this stuff on our mind and different things like that and bill paying and all this stuff, and we don't enter into His, we don't see Him like that. And the less you see Him, the bigger your problems get. The less you see Him, the greater those wrong desires get. I mean, you've heard Scotty. I mean, we didn't just start saying this. Said it for years, you know. I think Matt kind of got the wrong idea about it or something because he mentioned the dog. If it's a stray dog or cat, whatever it is, monkey, I don't care. If it comes up to your house, if you feed it, you got a friend for life. They're never leaving. Never. Me, I ain't feeding nothing. I don't even want to feed the dogs I got. That makes me think you better pick up some dog food, too, while I'm gone. My dogs will be out before I get back. Oh, my goodness. God's something else, ain't He? He is something else. Let's see here. Did we read all that? No, we didn't. I don't think we did. Let me see. And 31, and those who deal with this world overusing the enjoyments of this life, as though they were not absorbed by it, and is as if they had no dealings with it. For the outward form of this world, the present world order, is passing away. My desire is to have you free from all anxiety and distressing care. Thorny ground, ain't it? He says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is anxious, take a note, Scotty, and about worldly matters, how he may please his wife. I just had to throw that in there. I couldn't resist it. It's not good, though. We read on, we say it's not good. He says, and he is drawn in diverging directions. Remember what I said distraction meant? To pull one's attention away from, to divert you from something. That's what it's all trying to do. Divert you away from God. Divert you away from what he's told you, the promises that you're believing. In directions, his interests are divided and he is distracted from his devotion to God. So what's he saying here? Scotty is a married man. He says, but live your life like you're not. Don't live your life just to please your wife. Don't live your life just to please your husband. That's what he says. He says, and the unmarried woman or girl is concerned and anxious about the matters of the Lord. That's where your attention is at. How to be wholly separated and set apart in body and spirit, but the married woman as her cares centered in earthly affairs, how she may please her husband. I don't know about y'all, but I get tired of coming up with what we're going to eat every day. That's my job. Now, Scotty, on Sunday morning, he cooks breakfast. I don't think nothing about it. Do y'all ever get tired of that? Trying to figure out what you're going to. So then I asked him, and I know better. I know better. I know not to ask him anymore. But I still do it for some reason. I guess because I want some help around here. I say, what you want? I don't care, whatever you want. Well, I don't know what I want. Do you realize that's what this is our life. And that's what he's saying here. If you're married, don't be distracted about all this stuff you got to do, the cooking and the cleaning and the bill paying. Yes, it has its place. He says, but live your life as if you were unmarried. So everything that you think on and everything you do is not just to take care of your family and your husband or your wife or whatever, but God has to be first. Because it's all about the balance. And he goes on here and he says, 35, now I say this for your own welfare and profit, not to put a halter of restraint upon you, but to promote what is seemly and in good order, and to secure your undistracted and undivided devotion to the Lord. Can you hear that? Because see, it's like I can't seem to express it enough. These things, if you don't stay aware of them, they come in and they do their thing and they get in your heart and you never even saw them. You never even noticed them because it is so much a part. He uses what is so much a part of your everyday life to where they just creep in. But we're not going to be unaware, right? Samantha is going to please the Lord. Look out, Johnny. You might not get everything you wanted. No, I'm just kidding. Let's look at, did I read all that? Was that 35? Yeah. Let's look at Luke 16. See, these things, I mean, they're not great revelational or profound or anything. How many knows the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoils the vine? It's usually not those great big things, because usually those great big things are out of the ordinary, and you're like, oh, no, I see you, devil. I ain't got time for you today. But these little things that we don't think about sometimes. That's how come last week, I'm telling you, every day, sometime or another during the day, I'm saying, I don't care. I don't care what Scotty does. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm telling you, I have learned. Now, he thinks I'm a clean freak, and I'm not. And I don't think he's a slob or anything. But that man will go down there just rain, walk in the garden, come in the house to get him something to drink with them shoes on. Can y'all imagine what they look like? And I'm like, no, get out of here with those shoes on! And then he's like, well, this is my house! And I'm like, you only sleep here. I'm the one who lives here. I know y'all don't ever have none of that stuff happen. So I have learned, now he don't do that as much as he used to. He's getting better, and I'm getting better at not just jumping him if it happens or whatever, you know. But I have learned, pick my battle. Instead of every little thing, because me and him are so different, I have learned I don't have to come apart or care about everything he says. Everything he does, everything he doesn't do. Why? If I did, I'd be caring all day long. I'd be running around scrubbing the house, and I mean, he can't come in. He don't like it when I clean, because then he can't hardly come in. So I'm like, take them clothes off on the porch. Well, if y'all seen him, you'd understand why. I mean, the man goes over there, he's on the bulldozer, comes home, he's got hydraulic fluid all over the place. I mean, sometimes we got a high water bill. Sometimes I have to wash his clothes 2 and 3 times before I can hang them up. I mean, they got hydraulic fluid all over. He's over in that pasture. He's doing something like that all the time. Now, see, I'm not just telling you my story. I don't know what it is for you. I guess being a widow, D, it's Nemo. I don't know. I don't know, D. Bless your heart. We'll pray for you. But what am I saying? Everybody has it. Everybody has it. Because we're not all on the same level. We're not all just alike. And then, lo and behold, you put two people together that have a lot of opposites, but a lot of things together. Our core values and everything are mine and Scotty's, they're together. I mean, you better figure that out before you get married. You know we're not in the denomination, but how you gonna believe? You'd be surprised at how much arguments and divorces that one thing alone causes. Because you are two different faiths, two different beliefs. Whether we're gonna have kids or not have kids. Some people don't want no kids. Then they'll marry somebody, they want 5. Well, y'all should have talked about all that before you got together. Paul even goes down in that chapter 7 there, and he tells them, I wish y'all would stay like I am, unmarried, because when you get married, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. And it's not because marriage is not good. Marriage is a wonderful thing. God created it. But what is he saying here? You're going to have trouble in the flesh because Scotty wants tacos and I want Arby's. Y'all not saying nothing. Well, some days you should just eat a taco even though you wanted an Arby's. And that's what he's saying about being married or whatever. And caring about all this stuff. I can't care about everything. See, a lot of times people think that word care is just talking about fear or something like that. No, it's talking about anxieties. It's talking about distractions. All of these things are distracting you. Just say Scotty come in there with that mud on and I lose it. I've not lost in over a year. I guess over a year. Something like that anyway. Since the last time I told you about it. Now, have I felt anger? Oh, yeah. Have I been, like, right on the point? Oh, yeah. But I ain't lost it yet. But just imagine, D. Now, see, I'm believing big. I'm believing God's word versus the whole United States of America here. I mean, this is not a little thing that I'm believing God for. Well, just think about it. He comes in like that, and I lose it. Well, number one, I'm going to have to deal with condemnation. Because you know the devil's going to jump on that and start lying and say, I'm telling you right now, your brother ain't coming home. Look what you did. Blah, 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 blah. Then I'll have to get rid of all that, clean all that mess up. How about we just don't do it to begin with? Right? Why? Because the things we're believing God for, God's already done them. But now it's time to wait. And listen to me, he'll play head games with you too. About all different kinds of stuff because of how you feel. He's told me all kinds of things this week. Ah, you've already lost that because of how I felt. And I'm like, I need more water. That's what the problem is. You're trying to tell me that word's not in there anymore, but I know it's still in there. So I got to do more water. Why? Because I told you keep a gauge on your peace, right, and your joy. And all that stuff starts getting low, and so then he'll start telling you, see, it's not working. That word's not in there anymore. I done got it out. I've done choked it out. Well, you are such a liar. If you had of, you wouldn't be telling me that. And then here comes the hope. Just do more water. Just do more water, and that's all. What did I tell y'all? Luke 16? We'll do this in the Amplified. Now, remember what we just got through reading over there. He talked about the overuse of things. He says here in 19, there was a certain rich man who habitually clothed himself in purple and fine linen and reveled and feasted and made merry in splendor. How often? Every day. See, there's some people, they got to go fishing every day. And nothing wrong with fishing. I'm not saying that. But how many knows, be careful what you're doing every day. do you need to be doing certain things every day? And notice what he said. It was habitually clothing himself in purple and fine linen and reveled and feasted and made merry in splendor every day. And at his gate there was carelessly dropped down a certain utterly destitute man named Lazarus, reduced to begging alms and covered with ulcerated sores. He eagerly desired to be satisfied with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs even came and licked his sores. And it occurred that the man reduced to begging died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So take notice. Rich, poor, saved, lost, we all gonna leave here one day, one way or another, by way of the grave, or it's gonna be by him coming to get us. He goes on 22, and it occurred that the man reduced to begging died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, the realm of the dead, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have pity and mercy on me and send Lazarus. Who you think you are bossing somebody around? I mean, where you are and you're still bossing somebody? Bad. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have pity and mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your life. See what I'm talking about? He says, remember that in your lifetime you fully received what is due you in comforts and delights. Now he is, Lazarus, in like manner, the discomforts and distresses, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who want to pass from this place to you may not be able, and no one may pass from there to us. And the man said, Then, Father, I beseech you, send to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may give solemn testimony and warn them, lest they too come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear and listen to them. But he answered, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent, change their minds for the better, and heartily amend their ways with abhorrence of their past sins. Notice what he says. He said to him, If they do not hear, if you're something, you got to not be wayside ground there, right? He says, If they do not hear and listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded and convicted and believe, even if someone should rise from the dead. But notice what he said there. Dude, you had all the pleasures you could stand. You had all the fine clothes. Every day you feasted. You was never without. And then now it's reversed. And how many know? He says there, now Lazarus is comforted. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they want to share?